today on A Word to Live By.
We really do want to resolve. We make our resolutions and decide that we're going to live a certain way and we're going to change. There are things about us that need changing. I want to ask you the question, what are you resolved for? As you look forward into this year, what are the things that we really need to be doing? What are the things that we really need to be believing?
What are the changes you want to see for the new year? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares the kind of resolutions that last forever. In today's message, New Life Resolve.
Jesus, the hope for the hopeless, repairing hearts of the broken, proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for our word to live by.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We head from Christmas to New Year's with really lofty expectations of the new year. And I know that some of us, we really do want to resolve. We make our resolutions and decide that we're going to live a certain way and we're going to change. There are things about us that need changing. And so we'll make these resolutions. You know, the top three or four resolutions of 2015 is number one, lose weight. Yeah. Number two, get organized. Number three, spend less and save more. And then one of them is to exercise and remain healthy. Now, you know, I know that I've done that before on many occasions. And I think, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to exercise every day. I'm going on a diet. And I'm going to stick to it. And then I ask the question, is that cake? Is that peanut butter chocolate cake? Is that a wedding cake? Is that what that is? And then all of a sudden, I'm distracted. It's gone. It's done, right? How many of you have been there? I want to tell you this. Yeah, we've all been there because, you know, when you look at studies of resolutions, 8% are successful in their resolutions. 8%. What does that mean? That means 92% of us fail. And we often fail within the first, what, 24 hours. Couple of days, couple of weeks. You know, I think that evaluating your life and the things that have been going on in your life over the past several months and maybe the past year is a very good thing. And I think making some very pinpoint decisions about where you want to see your life move in the next few months or maybe even the next few years is a very good thing. I look at my life, I see the things that I don't like, the things that I'm struggling with, or the things that can be better, and then I look to the future to ask God to come and to move in my life in some very specific ways so that I might grow in Him, that I might be in Christ better than I was the year before. I think that that's what God's put in us. It's what we lost at the fall, but there's something that we've lost, and that is to be like Him, to be better, to do better, to see stronger things come from our lives, to see us have a better influence. In 1772, the great pastor Jonathan Edwards put down 21 resolutions, and in 1773, he made 40 more the next year. And he just resolved to read them every day. I want to just share just a few of them. And I'm just telling you, he's resolved. He's resolved that I will do whatever I think to be most to God's glory. I'm resolved never to lose one moment of time, but improve it the most possible way I possibly can. Resolved to live with all my might while I do live. I'm resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. I'm resolved to think much on all occasions of my own dying and of the common circumstances which attend death. I'm resolved, when I feel pain, to think of the pains of martyrdom and hell. I'm resolved never to do anything out of revenge. I'm resolved never to suffer the least emotions of anger to irrational beings. In other words, he's not going to kick the dog anymore, right? I'm resolved, he says. I'm resolved in my life that I will live so as I shall have wished I had done when I come to die. I resolved to maintain the strictest temperance in eating and drinking. Resolved to never allow the least measure of any fretting at my father and my mother. And I'm resolved to everything willingly and cheerfully to do as unto the Lord and not as unto man. Really powerful. Those are just a few of the 21. And then there's 40 more. There's this resolved in his life. And I want to ask you the question, what are you resolved? As you look forward into this year, what are the things that we really need to be doing? What are the things that we really need to be believing? And so what I want to do over the next couple of minutes together is I want to just kind of pitch something your way. The first point is going to be things to believe. And then the second point is going to be things to do. So here's the first point. Turn to that passage, and I know I've asked you to do that, but I haven't, so let me do that real quick. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Watch. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all these things, all what things? All these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he committed, watch, to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What do we believe? My challenge to us is that we believe this word and what this word says about you and about me. Those of us who are in Christ Jesus, the Bible says that all things have become new. They've all become new. The old has passed away. He says you are new creations in Christ Jesus. If you've come to Christ, if you've given him and been reconciled to him, as we're going to see in just a moment, then you are a new creation. A new creature is what he says. It's not that God just comes along and tries to patch up the old, or patch you up, or fix you up. No, he gives you a new nature. It's brand new, brand spanking new, when you come to be born again by the Spirit of God. You're a new creation. The old has passed away. The old stuff, the old things, the old way of life, the old failures, the old sin, the old sin habits. He says there's this certainty, there's this expectation of a new creation to see all those things past, done away with, buried. It was buried with Christ when you came to Christ. It was buried when you were buried and when you were raised up to walk in newness of life. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And all that stuff in the past, all that old, all those failures, all those ways you thought, all those ways you lived, all those mistakes you made, they are done away with. They're gone. New creation says every single day, not just for a new year, but every single day that I get up, the new creation says, I'm that. That's what I am in Christ Jesus. I'm not that apart from anything else but him. I can't be that way in my own flesh. I can't conjure it up. I can't make myself do enough to be new. He gave us this nature as a gift for the glory of God. What do you do with a gift? You don't trample it. It's like he's given you this thing. He's given you this new nature. He's put it in your hands. And oftentimes what people do is they get this gift and they trample it. They trample on it. They return to the old way. They return to the old lifestyle. The Bible calls it as a dog returns to its vomit or a pig returning to the sty once he's been washed. What have you done with the gift of new creation in your life? Have you nurtured it? Have you embraced it? Have you believed it? I want to tell you as your pastor, and just as a pastor speaking to pastor, speaking to me today, is I gotta get up every morning knowing that it's a new day because I'm a new man in Christ. It's old passed away. All things have become new. That's what we believe. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. The old is past. All things all things are new. And then here's a third thing. A third thing is that you have been reconciled to God in Christ. And here's another thing. And now you are a reconciler, that you have the ministry of reconciliation today. But what is reconciliation? Reconciliation is to be made one again. At some point when you talk about maybe in a marriage or in a friendship that some things have gone wrong and you've separated somehow emotionally, reconciliation is coming back together as one. That's what reconciliation is. And when Jesus died on the cross and stretched out his hands, he kind of just took the hand of God and took the hand of the believer and reconciled us to God. He said, we've been reconciled. We've been made as one with God. It's been restored. What a great promise. What a great promise to believe in 2015 that I'm in Christ, that I'm a new creation. The old stuff that I'm still living in, it's past. So why am I still living in it? And there's new things that have come. And by the way, new things will continue to come in Christ Jesus. I've been reconciled to him. And then he says this, you've been given a ministry of reconciliation. No matter what your gift is, if you're a giver, if you're a teacher, if you have the gift of hospitality, if you have the gift of mercy, if you have the gift of giving or serving, those gifts are for one purpose. That is to be used in your ministry of reconciliation. And we're all a part of it. You have a ministry of reconciliation. You have it in you because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the great high priest who brings peace for us. And you know, I just want to say this because I believe a lot of us in here, we have no problem believing that we are new creations. Because we've been taught that all our life. But every one of us in this place has a ministry of reconciliation. And we have that together as the church. Matter of fact, he goes on, he says one other thing about us. You are an ambassador for Christ. You represent Christ in this world. You know that's what an ambassador does? Ambassadors appointed by the President of the United States. Let's say if you're the ambassador of China or Russia, which I don't think anybody in their right mind would want to be because of all the stuff that goes on. You know, give me Jamaica, right? But what that ambassador does is that he goes and he represents the policy, the conviction, all that is wrapped up in that leader in the United States. And he represents so that when he talks to the official or talks to the president of that country or to the prime minister of that country, he's not talking for himself. He's talking for his king. He's talking for his president. He's talking for his leader. He's talking for his country. He's just the messenger. He's just relating these the principles. He's just relating the terms. And that's what you and I do. We're ambassadors for Christ. And when I get up every morning and I know that's what I'm called to do, it makes life different. It causes me not to live for myself. It causes me not to live for my own agendas. It causes me to live for his agenda. And all I'm asking as your pastor is that we believe this. Because when we believe this, it changes everything. It's because we believe we're new creations, that we've been reconciled. We have the ministry of reconciliation, and we're ambassadors for Christ. And what does God do with ambassador? He comes along, and he taps you on the shoulder and says, I need you to be my ambassador today, and I need you to be willing to go to this person and to share my word, my word. And it may be over the ocean. It may be just across the street. It may be just right across the aisle in your workplace or across the hall at the school that you teach at. I don't know. But we're ready. We sit in the residence of that ambassadorship, or wherever he's living, on that sovereign ground that the world has agreed that it's sovereign. And we're waiting for the word of our king, our president, our Lord, to go into high places to speak the word of God. Do you know that Walmart can be a high place? If God sends you there, it's a high place. And you may be a worker there, and you do that every day. Every day, that's where you go. That's your job. That's where you work. It's a high place when you're an ambassador for Christ. It's the place. It's the place that you get to go and share the wondrous life of God. Let's believe that this year. Let's take this verse. Let's take this passage, and let's study it. Let's memorize it. Let's quote it. Let's confess it. Let's confess that we are new in Christ. So we are. You're in Christ. That's your assignment this week. That's your assignment today. All that is, you may take this, what it means, it just means that all that means is that you're his representative in this world, and your life is just simply to point to the leader. Point to the leader's ways. That's what your life's all about. It's pointing to him, pointing to his ways. And the way that happens is you're making a decision by faith to live that way. It's more than just taking a tract or a Bible and beating someone over the head with it. It's living it. It's living it. It's living it God's way. It's living it his way, not yours. And I want to ask you a question today. Are you willing to believe that today? Are you willing to believe? What is causing you to not believe this? What is it? What is the doubt? What is the unbelief about it? What is it, the sense of inadequacy that maybe the enemy comes along and says, that's not you, he's not talking about you. Listen, if you're in Christ, we're talking about you. We're talking about one another. And maybe the problem is you're not in Christ. Maybe you've not been a new creation. Maybe you've not been reconciled. Maybe you've not given your life over to him. Maybe you've not trusted Christ for your salvation. Maybe you haven't believed that what he did 2,000 years ago, he did just for you. Maybe you've not received him into your life. Maybe you're not reconciled yet. But God may be knocking and tugging at your life right now. Right now, this very moment. And you might have prayed a prayer when you were 8, a prayer when you were 15. You might have prayed something when your grandmother got well or your mom got well in a hospital bed and you felt like God touched you. But the thought is, did you give your life to Christ? Did you believe that you're reconciled today in Christ Jesus? Let me tell you, it doesn't matter in my mind what happened to me when I was 8 years old. It's what I'm believing right now, right here. And I'm asking you, church, I'm asking us, let's believe this because this will change everything. It'll change the way you look at the world. It'll change the way you look at your neighbor. It'll change the way you'll look at your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, your grandparents. It'll change the way you look at your enemy. It'll change completely how you look at the person that offended you, the person that took swipes at you and your family. It'll change everything. Because why? Because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And that's all that matters. It's all that matters. Because if it's not all that matters, you haven't found life yet. You haven't lived it to the abundance when that's all that matters. When that's all that matters, when you know who you are, when you know this about yourself, and you believe that you're in Christ and you're a new creation, and the old has passed away and the new has come, and that you have a ministry of reconciliation, and that you're an ambassador. And then when that happens, it doesn't matter what people say or what people do. You become unoffendable. And you praise the name of your great God that he's invited you into this service. The service of the King. Listen, every one of you in here today, you have a gift. You might have two. You have passions that God has given to you. Some of you are teachers and you're not teaching. Some of you are encouragers and you're not encouraging. Some of you are mercy people and you're not showing mercy. Some of you are givers and you're not giving. Some of you are servants and you're not serving. Now, I'm not talking about doing something in the structure of the four walls of the church, although that's very important. I'm talking about getting out every day and exercising your gift for the glory of God. Because you're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. That means your nature is divine today. That you have everything you need to live godly life because you've been reconciled to him and you're an ambassador. Let me ask you this question. You don't think that if God calls you an ambassador and he says that's your purpose in life, that he is not going to equip you for it? And listen, you're not going to have 10 weeks to equip you for it. He can equip you in the moment of the need. In the moment. And you walk away from the moment and you're like, what did I say? I can't believe I said that. And it was good, by the way. It was good that you said. And you don't know where it came from. It came from the Spirit of the living God that has declared you a new creation, that's declared that the old has passed away and all that's become new. That you are reconciled, been reconciled, and you've been reconciled with him, and you have a ministry of reconciliation, and you're an ambassador. And that's what we believe. Will you believe that today? Will you believe it? See, when I think about this, I think, man, when I look at this, I know that my nature has been dealt with. It's new. I know that my past has been dealt with. I'm forgiven. My sins have been taken away. They've been forgotten. Jeremiah 31:34 says, I will forgive them their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. And your future is dealt with. You have this new brand, this brand new life, and it's forever. And it's a new walk, a walk by which you walk by the Spirit of God. And God fulfills something wonderful in your life. Will you believe that today? Will you believe it? But here's a second thought. We believe, but what do? The Bible says faith without works is dead. The Bible talks about believing, but also we become effectual doers in Christ Jesus. So turn to Philippians chapter 3. And we're not going to get even halfway through the rest of this message, but I want to give you something that we've been kind of talking about in this. I want to just read the passage and then make a couple of remarks, and then we'll close, because I want to give us an opportunity on this first Sunday of the new year for an invitation. And so I want to give you an opportunity to respond today to what God's asking you as you listen to this message. I want you to notice that he says in verse 2 of chapter 3 of Philippians, beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. We're the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, and we glory in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself have confidence even in the flesh, I might have it. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. I was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is found in the law, blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, manure, so that I may gain Christ, that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, not that I've already obtained it, or I've already become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to forget what lies behind and I'm going to reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect or mature, have this attitude. And if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. What do we believe? We believe that we're new creations in Christ. That we're reconcilers, ambassadors. How do we live? I'll tell you how we live. Number one, put no confidence in the flesh. Pedigree gets you nowhere. Social status gets you nowhere. Being American doesn't get you anywhere in the kingdom of God. Do you hear that? Being a patriot doesn't get you anywhere in the kingdom of God. It's Christ first. We put no confidence in the flesh. We don't put any confidence in our birthright or how we were born or what social status is. When Christ came, he broke down the dividing wall and he made us one. That's Jew and that's Greek. That's Jew and that's Gentile. And Paul is saying, listen, if I want to put confidence in the flesh, I can far more. This is my pedigree. This is what I've done. This is who I was for Israel. This is what I was, quote, for God. You put no confidence in your flesh. He who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall, right? It's the first thing. Put no confidence in the flesh. You put confidence in him. It's Jesus who gives it. It's Jesus who empowers you. It's Jesus who gives you the ability. It's the Holy Spirit that enables you. Put no confidence in the flesh for your salvation. You can't do enough to earn it. Whatever is gained to you, well, count that value as loss. Matter of fact, count it as dung. in view of knowing Christ Jesus and pursuing a vibrant walk with Him. To know Him. So here it is. I'm going to put no confidence in the flesh. All this stuff that was gained to me, I look at that as that value as loss. I look at it as all things as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. And this is what he says. I'm going to forget what lies behind, and I'm going to press on to what lies ahead. I'll ask you a question this morning. What are you not forgetting about the past that you need to be forgetting? I forget what lies behind, and I press on to what lies ahead. What are you not forgetting that keeps coming to your mind over and over and over? Maybe it is the past failure. Maybe it is what someone did or said. Maybe it's something your boss did 20 years ago. 20 years. Something that maybe your dad or your mom did or an uncle did years ago. Maybe someone stole your inheritance. We're to forget what lies behind, and we're to press on to what lies ahead. That's what I want to find our church doing. We got to forget the things that we need to forget. Now, there's some things that we need to remember. Who God is, what He's done, what He's continuing to do in our lives. But there's some of you here today that need to forget your past. Because the past is gone. Let me tell you, you don't get a do-over, but I'm going to tell you what you do get. You get a new start. Because if any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. And that's today, that's right now. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do? I'm going to ask the question. What do you need to lay down at this altar to press on to what lies ahead? Let me tell you what presses on lies ahead. The resurrection from the dead is something that we press on toward. We say, well, what does that mean? It means that I live this life, that I look forward to the time that I'm with Jesus forever. But you've often heard of me speak, and you'll hear me speak of it as long as I'm your pastor, as long as you're in this church, that what's ahead is Jesus is what's ahead. And it's Jesus Christ being fully formed in you. That's what we're looking to. Some of us have been disappointed in life. And that disappointment has caused us to keep looking back. And that disappointment has turned to grief. And then grief turns to anger if not dealt with. Anger turns to bitterness. And bitterness to unforgiveness. And I want to tell you, unforgiveness is a very bad thing to live in. It's time to forget it. What is it right now that the Holy Spirit would say to you that you need to forget what lies behind? What did he just say to you? What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you in just a moment in this time of invitation that you come down to this altar and you lay it down. What is it that you need to lay down so that you can press on to what lies ahead? What's the one thing, the two things that keeps you from pressing on to Christ's likeness? Knowing Christ, knowing the power of His resurrection, being conformed to His death and finding life in that today. What is it that you've not been believing? Maybe you're here today and you say, I've not been reconciled. I need to find Jesus. I'm asking you to come. I'm asking you to come and find Jesus today. Maybe there's something that has not even been mentioned in this place today, but God's on you about it. Holy Spirit's on you. It's time. It's time to lay it down and press on to what lies ahead.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. To find out more, call us at 254-445-2929. If you're a Facebook user, you can find us at Cottonwood Life or visit us online at cottonwoodlife.org.
Proclaiming God's truth in real life, it's time for our word. to live by.